So, Aaron, I know that you work for the health promotion aspect of Search. Just give me a sense of what kind of work that is.
Sure, right. So I work in health promotion as a health educator. My background is in counseling, so I do a bit of counseling and support, but for anything related to elder health, grief and bereavement, and end of life. So there's sort of a couple of things under my umbrella, essentially.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that I provide education for the community here in Sitka and then also in Wrangell and potentially other Southeast communities in the future.
Okay. And then so this grief workshop that you will be doing in Wrangell, who is the intended audience?
So the intended audience is really any community member. It's not meant to be just for professionals or just for community members. It's really about us all, because at some point we're all going to be supporting someone who's grieving in some way. So I'm thinking about, you know, your friends, your neighbors, our patients, our students, just really anyone. If we're not grieving ourselves, then we are going to be in a position to be interacting with people who are grieving. So how can we best support them? How can we make that interaction the most helpful and be present in those moments?
And then just give me a rundown of what this workshop will actually look like.
Sure. Okay. So this is basically a continuation of the workshop that I offered in Wrangell in January, and I titled it Friends in Grief. So I'm calling this one Friends in Grief Continued. And it is a bit different. And so the first half, the first hour or so, will be more general information about grief. So different types of losses, myths about grief, and tips on supporting family members, friends, patients, neighbors who are grieving. And so that will be a little bit of a review for folks that attended the workshop in January, but I've added in some new information just to make it fresh for those folks. But then also, if I've got some folks that are new, that are just coming to this workshop, they'll get that foundational information. And then the second half, so thinking like 7 to 8-ish, will be focused on children and teens in grief. And Heather Meathy, who is a Wrangell community member, will be reading a piece. It's a beautiful piece that she wrote about her personal experience of loss as a child. So she will open that second part of the workshop. And then we'll spend time just learning about how to talk to children about death, and then typical, you know, developmental responses to loss. So what do we see in 2 to 4-year-olds, and what do we see in teens, that sort of thing. And then we'll wrap up with some tips on supporting children and teens who are grieving and families who are grieving.
Can you just give me a sense of, you know, what theories or what research you are pulling from?
That's a great question. I mean, I think I'm kind of creating my own personal and professional philosophy about grief, but I have a couple of heroes in the field. Dr. Kenneth Doka is someone that I really respect and admire. Megan Devine, she's out of Portland. I really admire her work around, you know, just debunking the thought and the belief that we have culturally around there being a timeline to grief, and that there are stages to grief. Those things just are not bound to be true, and I think that it just puts unnecessary pressure and expectations on people who are grieving that they should move on or get over a loss. And that's work that I want to address, and education that I want to bring to different communities and to different groups of people. And then Dr. Alan Wolfelt is another person that I really admire in the field, his work as well.
And then, you know, what do you take from his work?
From his work, so all of these people that I'm mentioning kind of share that same approach, that there isn't a timeline to grief, that the experience is very individual and unique, and that should be honored and respected. It looks different for each person, so just keeping that in mind, and that, yeah, that there just isn't an expectation that grief necessarily even ever ends, right? Because if we think about grief being equated to love, we would never expect people to stop loving their person even after they've died. So why would we expect that they would stop grieving for them? Of course, that may look different over time, but it's still very much a part of who they are. And this idea of continuing bonds and a relationship with people even after they have died.
Absolutely. Continuing bonds and the relationship. This means like, you know, like honoring that person, remembering that person. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And it can look different for each person. I mean, rituals and that sort of thing have to have personal meaning and value to be supportive and helpful. So if that looks like, you know, celebrating anniversaries or birthdays ongoing, or visiting a gravesite, or keeping ashes, or whatever that looks like, having journaling to that person, writing them letters, talking to them, you know, whatever that looks like for that person. There's an emphasis and I think a focus more currently on continuing that relationship because it has benefit to the person who is bereaved, to the survivor.
And what is that benefit?
Just in their experience of the loss, how their day-to-day looks. You know, if we put restrictions and boundaries and expectations that, you know, this relationship ceases like a light switch on and off, I mean, that seems so unfair and unrealistic. And so we want to move away from feelings of shame around still having a relationship with your loved one and move into a place where that is recognized as being something that is beneficial and it's a good thing and it's really natural and normal too.